To Bangkok now, where red-shirted protesters are still on the streets despite the deadly weekend clashes which killed 21 people and injured around 800. Thailand's Prime Minister has ordered the army back to its barracks, but tensions remain high. There is, though, some talk of a political settlement and early elections. Our correspondent Mark Willesee is on the streets of the capital, Bangkok, and joins us now. So, Mark, just how tense is the situation there now?
Well, Eleanor, it's still quite tense. The red shirt protesters are not budging, as we all know. They've vowed no retreat and no surrender. They're still, as you can probably hear in the background, making political speeches. They were just condemning the government for the use of force over the weekend and also basically holding up their dead as martyrs to the cause of democracy. So while the army has pulled back, there is a feeling that, look, in a couple of days they may regroup and they may move in again and use force. So the red shirts are saying they are well and truly prepared for that contingency. But at this stage, there is hope that there could be compromise and not confrontation.
Well, both sides had promised restraint before the weekend. Is it any clearer today how this situation turned so deadly?
Well, what we know is that the government decided that it had had enough. 4 weeks was long enough. It had run out of patience. So it ordered the troops in to try and clear the main site of the red shirt protesters, which is in the old quarter of Bangkok. Now, initially, we understand that tear gas and rubber bullets were used, usual crowd control measures. But the government has admitted that live rounds were fired into the air. Obviously, someone has been badly injured. That's inflamed the crowd. And basically, that the soldiers had to turn and flee. And I was in that area yesterday again, and we saw the remains of all that. There were 7 or 8 APCs, armoured personnel carriers, burnt-out army Humvees, an upturned truck. So it's a sign that, these guys aren't using sort of conventional weapons. This is just crowd fury. So something really did bother them, and they're saying the problem was that the government was using live rounds and firing them into the red shirt protesters' crowd.
So the government now admits that there was live ammunition involved. Is it still saying that the army did not shoot into the crowd?
They're saying that the army only shot that live ammunition over the heads of the crowd and in self-defence. And now that's an important little comment at the end, in self-defence. Well, obviously, it's clear from some postings, both video and photographic on the internet, that live rounds did hit the protesters. There's some very bad video of several people being hit by high-velocity live rounds. There could be nothing else, and they caused quite a deal of carnage. So the government is sort of conceding, yes, that they did use live rounds, but they're trying to sort of add a little proviso on the end, that it was only over the heads of people and only in self-defence.
What has been the effect of this violence on the protesters? Has it scared them into not coming out, or has it only made them more determined?
Oh, I think it's made them only more determined. There is no sense of fear among the red shirt protesters. They feel emboldened by what's happened. They feel legitimised. They say it's proof that this government is corrupt, that it's not right to rule because it's turned the guns on the people. Now, that's their position. The crowds aren't melting away. We're seeing a situation where they're holding their ground. They're just in the commercial capital now, right next to where they're camped in. They still control the streets around here. They control all the main thoroughfares. They're still camped in the old quarter of Bangkok, despite the army's attempt to try and unseat them there. And they control the old quarter, the commercial district, and they seem quite emboldened and ready for anything the army may want to plan to throw at them next.
And Mark Willesee, the Thai New Year begins tomorrow. What effect is that likely to have?
Yeah, Songkran begins tomorrow, and obviously that's a very important festival and a time of year for the Thai people. It will go, we understand, for 3 days, so that means basically the rest of this week is a national holiday. There's two schools of thought on how that may play out. The one school of thought is that it may help the government in that people may want to go back to their towns, their villages, and to celebrate this very important New Year festival. Or there's another school of thought that because work will be shut down, shops will be shut down, the country will be shut down, there'll be a lot of people with nothing to do, so that they may actually gravitate towards Bangkok and reinforce the protest. So two very different schools of thought there.
Mark Willesee in Bangkok, thank you. So what can be done to resolve this deadly political standoff, and what could it mean for Thailand's stability? Joining us now is Dr. Andrew Walker, a senior fellow at the College of Asia and the Pacific at the Australian National University. He's worked in Thailand for more than 15 years, and he's been watching events over the weekend very closely. Dr. Walker, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
First, what was your reaction when you realised just how much blood was shed over the weekend?
Well, I was as shocked and as upset as anyone else was. It's obviously a tragic situation, but all too predictable, trying to move such a large and determined crowd by force was inevitably going to result in some violence.
Well, we've just heard from our correspondent there that protesters have in fact been galvanised by the violence and that they control much of Bangkok there. What do you think can be done to calm the situation?
Well, I think this is the tragedy and the problem for the government. There's been 20 lives lost and many, many people injured, and the net effect is nothing. Or possibly, as your reporter said, it's emboldened the red shirts. I think it's clear that this is going to have to be resolved by some negotiation. Force is not going to work. And I think it's likely that the government will have to agree to an election sooner rather than later.
Well, there is talk of early elections, but hasn't the Prime Minister flagged that before?
Well, he earlier flagged an election for the end of the year, for December. How genuine that offer was is not clear, but it was certainly rejected by the red shirts. They want an election very, very soon, within weeks or a very small number of months. Obviously, the reasonable situation is going to have to be some sort of compromise. My feeling is perhaps around July or August there could be an election. But there's also constitutional problems. We're working under a constitution that's got provisions in it that could easily undo the results of another election. So it's a bit hard to see how things could proceed before some of those constitutional issues are addressed.
And if the Prime Minister resigns and calls elections as the red shirts demand, won't that simply bring the yellow shirts back onto the streets?
It may if a pro-Thaksin party wins an upcoming election, which certainly seems possible. It may then bring the yellow shirts back. My feeling is that the yellow shirts probably have a significantly smaller base of popular support than the red shirts. But it does raise the issue that elections without some national consensus of accepting the result of an election might not necessarily solve the problem.
What about the king? How much power does he have in all this?
Well, I think at the moment, in practical terms, the king is very old and he's very unwell, so any action on the part of the king is very unlikely. Of course, he's got symbolic power, but over the past few years, that symbolic power has been pretty much mobilised on the anti-Thaksin, the yellow shirt side of politics. So I think it's unlikely that the palace will be able to play any mediating role in the current crisis.
Are you saying that the king, the red shirts, would not actually accept the authority of the king anymore?
Well, I think they've made some rhetorical calls for him to intervene, but I think they know that they don't really have friends in the palace.
What is the danger for Thailand if the government can't bring this under control?
Well, the danger for Thailand is a greater escalation of conflict. And perhaps quite alarming is the prospect that conflict could spread outside of Bangkok into provincial areas. If the red shirts suffer any more significant setbacks in Bangkok, they may decide to switch their strategies towards the provinces where they're very, very strong, and that could scatter this crisis throughout Thailand.
What's your sense of it? Is this building or is it capable of being contained?
I think right now we're obviously at a crucial point. My feeling is it will be contained because I don't think the army in particular has the stomach to attempt what they did again on Saturday night. They would either have to incur casualties themselves and in particular incur a very large number of casualties on the protesters. I don't think they want to do that, and I think they'll pressure Abhisit to negotiate some sort of compromise.
Dr. Andrew Walker, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem.
That's Dr. Walker, who's a senior fellow at the College of Asia and the Pacific at the Australian National University.